Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Sarah. Today, this is a little bonus episode, and I really just want to talk about strategies for this time change that is upcoming this weekend on Saturday, November the 5th. Some things that you can do to optimize your health. You know, it's not going to be as disruptive as this time change that we have every March. I did a post on Instagram and basically said, oh, daylight savings, da da da. And people got, you know, a couple people were like, oh, it's not daylight savings, which I know this. Daylight savings starts in March. And when we go back to our regular time in November, the point is that these time changes are very disruptive to our circadian rhythm. We have a lot more darkness. And in that darkness, we are exposing our bodies, our eyes, everything to a lot of artificial light that is creating a lot of health issues. So in this episode, I want to walk you through just some simple practical tips. I also have a printable, downloadable guide that I'm going to link in the show notes to this episode. If that's something you want to share with your friends, family members, or if you're just a visual person, you like to have reminders, go ahead and click the link in the show notes for that guide, and you can just have that printed out and use it this winter, because the goal of this podcast is to really empower you, help you to understand things that, you know, most people even in the health space aren't going to tell you, can help you to optimize your health and to live your best life, right? To live your healthiest life and to optimize these principles of quantum biology and circadian biology. So thank you for listening. If you have a moment, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Head on over to Apple or Spotify. Leave me up to a 5-star review. That would help me so much to keep getting this podcast out to more people. And a quick little reminder, I am going to be changing the name of this podcast to the Evolving Wellness Podcast in the next couple of weeks. So I appreciate everyone who has been a supporter, who stuck around. I actually changed my name over on Instagram to Sarah Kleiner Wellness this past week, as well as my YouTube channel. And I did this on the same day that there was actually an Instagram glitch. And the thing that with this Instagram glitch is that people were losing like chunks of followers, like 1,000 followers, like overnight. And so I changed my name and I was thinking I'm probably going to lose some people. I'm going to make a post here. Probably going to lose some people that were following me just for the carnivore yogi thing. Instagram glitch, boom, you lose 1,000 followers. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've made this huge monumental mistake. I should just not do this rebranding thing. I've totally screwed up. Had this moment of completely doubting myself and my mission. And then a lot of my followers were reaching out to me because I was kind of freaked out on my stories, and they're like, chill out, Sarah, it's okay. There's an Instagram glitch. It's happening to everyone. Don't worry. And so long story short, we kept the name change. It's all going just fine. I got the followers back, and you know, it was just a little lesson. It's like, is it that important? And I had to kind of sit there and think, if I do lose 1,000 followers because I'm sticking to what's true to me and a message that's true to me, it's worth it. I went through that. I said, it's worth it, because at the end of the day, I'm going to have more of my people sticking around that want to hear this message about overall health, where I'm still going to talk about the importance of a meat-based diet, eating animal foods, getting those essential nutrients. Absolutely. That's going to be a part of the podcast, a part of Instagram, everything that I do. But I want to encompass this larger view of health that is circadian biology, that is quantum biology, bringing on these experts, talking about mitochondrial health, talking about things like leptin, and really, really getting the message out to more people. So I had a little bit of a moment this week. And before I jump into all these tips for you guys, my son James turned 1 month old this week. It's crazy how time flies. And I've just been enjoying it. I mean, being a mom at 43 is so different than being a mom at 28. I am just like, I'm walking around in gratitude for this baby. And, you know, the things that I think totally freaked me out when Alexis was a baby, my daughter was a baby, they're just not ruining my day. I'm like, okay, he's not having a schedule. He's not sleeping. He's not, you know, he's a baby. You can't spoil a baby. You just hold them, you love them, you feed them. And you know what? Eventually he'll find a schedule. It could be a year from now, but I'm just in just complete gratitude of this baby. He's wonderful. You know, and I have some circadian tips for parents that I'll talk about in this episode as well that I've been implementing. I have been lucky. Yeah, we're breastfeeding, but he does at night sleep for 4, sometimes 5 hour stretches. So that's really been nice to be able to get those longer stretches. And during the day, he will feed a little bit more often to kind of make up for that. You may hear him peeping in on the podcast. I think he's sleeping, but he's on my chest right now. I've been using a baby wrap, which is just wonderful because during the day, if he's going to nap, he likes to kind of do it on me. So that is a little update with motherhood. I am just so happy. And again, just walking around in gratitude. It's not perfect. You know, I've had my moments where I'm tired and I'm sore and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a challenge. But at the end of the day, I always bring myself back to that place of gratitude for the chance to have this child. And it's, I just feel super blessed for the experience. So we're going to stay with that. All right, let me jump into this circadian health thing. Now, as I mentioned, it's not actually daylight savings time that's happening this weekend. Daylight savings is ending. It's the time change. We're falling back, right? So now it's going to be dark for most people as they are getting ready for work. And it's going to be dark a lot earlier too. And I think I mentioned in the intro to this podcast, if you look into the scientific literature, what it shows is that artificial light at night, so after sunset is night, is tied to everything from obesity to depression and anxiety, which skyrocket. Both of those things skyrocket in the winter, lowered immune system function, Alzheimer's, you know, so many of these issues that people deal with in the winter are tied to artificial light at night. So my biggest tip for people after sunset is to get a pair of orange blue blocker glasses. Now, I love Viva Rays. They are one of my sponsors. I also love Raw Optics, another one of my sponsors. Discount code over at Viva Rays is Yogi. Discount code over at Raw Optics is Carnivore Yogi. But I also want to mention a brand, Spectra 479. I have no affiliation with them. My friend Carrie Bennett, who I trust and hold in the highest regard, I even do a fertility course with Carrie. She has clued me into these. They can go over your glasses. The only issue with these is that you don't want to scratch them, okay? If you scratch them, if you damage them, they're not going to block out that blue light as effectively, okay? So that's one thing that the Raw Optics and the Viva Rays, if you scratch those, kind of ding those up a little bit, they're still going to protect your eyes. The Spectra 479, they're going to let that light kind of leak in through the scratches. So if you can be like super careful with these, if you want a cheaper brand, a cheaper option, I would check those out. So after sunset, you're going to want to move into orange tinted glasses. Okay. If you go right into red, you're going to get sleepy. You're going to be really tired. So I recommend the orange glasses after sunset and then about 30 minutes to an hour before you go to bed, switching into some red blue blockers. Now, before sunrise, this is where a lot of people are going to be hung up because you have to be at school, you have to be at work, you have to get up and start moving around. This is where you're going to use Zeitgebers or secondary timekeepers to help you get up and be alert for the day. So breakfast, you guys know I'm a huge, huge breakfast, eating breakfast person before the coffee. So good for your cortisol, good for your liver, especially if you have leptin resistance. These things are going to be very, very important for you. So eating that breakfast when you get up. And here's another thing you can do. Sunrise is when we get the most red light. So if you have a red light panel, I love the EMR tech. I've talked with the owner, Chris, multiple times on the podcast. My 20% off code there is CarnivoreYogi20. But if you have a little red light panel, maybe eat your breakfast in front of that red light panel if you got to be up before the sunrise. And then when you're driving to work, yellow blue blockers. Never wear the orange blue blockers. Yellow blue blockers on the way to work. orange blue blockers if you're at home, because, you know, they're a little darker, but I don't recommend anyone ever try to drive with orange blue blockers or red. Definitely do not drive with red. That could cause a serious accident. So, you know, waking up, another Zeitgeber, secondary timekeeper, is going to be temperature. So if you, this would be the time in the morning, if you need to wake up before sunrise, if you need to be at work before sunrise, get a nice, you know, bowl of ice water, dunk your wrists into that ice water. You can also dunk your face into the ice water 20 seconds or so. Okay. What cold therapy does is it actually raises your body temperature, which is what we want to happen with sunrise, which is what we want to happen to start our day, to wake ourselves up. I still want you in the blue blockers, orange if you're at home walking around, yellow if you have to drive and go into the office, go into work. Then once you do get to work, if at all possible, you know, use your Dminder app. That's going to tell you what time sunrise is. I think Apple Weather app is can also tell you what time sunrise is. So you figure out what time that sunrise is and you try to get out there. If you can only get out there for 30 seconds, cool. But you want your eyes to try to see some of that natural light, if at all possible. Bonus points, if you can take your shoes off, get barefoot, you know, ground. Grounding is a wonderful way to reduce inflammation. I'm going to put a nice little graphic in my guide that you guys can download from this episode. The time change guide is what I'm going to call it, because that's so many people over on Instagram. It's not daylight savings time. Arr, you're being misleading. Okay. The time is changing. We have to adjust. So I just called it that because that's what most people are going to recognize. Oh yeah, we know what this is. Okay. But if you can ground, grounding has been shown to reduce inflammation, to recoagulate blood cells, red blood cells, and just make you feel better, right? So it's really, really good for your body. If you can get bare feet on the ground, you can ground on concrete. You just can't ground on asphalt, right? So find some concrete. If you're at work, find a sidewalk. If you can find a little patch of grass, look at the sun, you know, look and face east. If it's raining, if it's cloudy, if it's gloomy, if you've got mountains, trees, buildings in the way, doesn't matter. You go outside. Fine, you know, if you can't ground, it's cool, but just going outside, letting your eyes face east, that's the direction the sun comes up. If you can stay out for 5-10 minutes, awesome. If you only have 30 seconds a minute, totally fine. Okay. Then you got to go back to your office, you got to go back to your environment. You probably want to wear those yellow blue blockers. But a thing about the yellow blue blockers is that they are going to block out some of that blue. And if you buy a really nice brand like Raw Optics, they're going to also block out green light. Now, blue light actually does wake you up. It raises your cortisol. That's why we don't want to have it after sunset. But a lot of modern offices, they were filled with these incandescent bulbs. Okay. So they didn't have a lot of blue light in. That's why I'm like, I like incandescent bulbs after sunset in your house. I think those can be really helpful. But the reason they put those in offices is because of the LEDs and fluorescents in offices is because they had so much blue light that it was waking people up and boosting their cortisol. So it can be something that boosts your cortisol. So here's the thing about the yellow blue blockers in the daytime in your office. Yes, very helpful. But you gotta take a break, let's say every hour or so, if you can, to see natural sunlight, because you... if you go outside in the middle of the day, there is an abundance of blue light, but it's also balanced out with red light. It's also balanced out with the other rays of the sun. So you got to take breaks periodically if you're going to be utilizing those yellow blue blockers. Okay. Now, another thing that I want people to do, so that's daytime. Daytime, you know, eat your lunch, dinner. Now, you know, I'm a big stickler for try not to eat after sunset. This is tough during the winter, especially for people who are still at work. Okay. So I still like people to try to leave a 4-hour window before they actually go to bed, 3 to 4 hour window before they go to bed in the winter time. So if your sun is setting at 4 p.m., I know it's going to be hard for some people, especially if they're not fat adapted. That's why being fat adapted during the winter is super, super helpful, because we're supposed to have longer periods of sleep, longer periods of darkness so that we make more melatonin, we heal, we repair. What do we do instead? We watch TV, we stay up late. We have a bunch of bright LEDs in our home that are making the cortisol higher in our bodies. So, you know, what I want people doing is trying to, you know, food is that secondary signaler. It's called a Zeitgeber. So eating an earlier dinner, okay? So if you can't do it before sunset, I understand. Do your best. Everything that I want people to do is your best, okay? So just do your best with that. I don't necessarily want people eating in a stressed out state, like eating at their desk at work. That's stressful, okay? So do your best to just leave at least 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed to digest your food, because you don't want to still be digesting your food, because that is also going to be something that makes more cortisol in your body. So cortisol opposes melatonin. So anything that you can do to not elicit cortisol later in the day is good. Okay. Another Zeitgeber again is temperature. So evening time is going to be great for a warm bath. If you have a sauna or a sauna blanket, utilize those things before bed in the evening, because those are going to bring your body temperature down. So we want body temperature going up in the morning throughout the day, and then in the evening we want body temperature going down. We want to keep our houses nice and cool, nice and dark. Use blackout curtains. I have an eye mask that I use. Viva Rays has a great eye mask. I use earplugs, all of those things. Now with a newborn, and if you have kids that wake up through the night, and I'll put it in the guide that you guys can download. I use this amazing little clip-on light. I just got it Amazon, and it's like a reading light, and it's, you know, it's closer to the intensity of the sun at sunrise and sunset, that Kelvin wise, brightness wise, or intensity wise, not brightness. So I use that if little man wakes up and needs to eat in the middle of the night, I use that clip on, and I still throw my blue blockers on too. So that can help if you have kids that wake up. Don't ever, if you wake up in the night, do not ever turn on bright overhead lights. Again, that is going to get cortisol going. Okay. And it's going to oppose melatonin. So you're going to really mess up an opportunity that you have to heal. So in the evening, you really do want to wear your blue blockers. Again, orange is what you're going to wear after sunset. And then 30 minutes to an hour before bedtime, you put on your red ones. Wintertime is an amazing time for your body to heal. It's a really great time for your body to heal. So you want to try to utilize the darkness. I'm convinced that getting pregnant, it happened for me in January of this year. It was because I was really honoring the darkness. I was really honoring the cold. I was doing cold therapy. I was doing a lot of these things to honor winter and embrace the season. And I did not deal with any depression, anxiety, weight gain, mood changes, any of that stuff that I typically deal with in the winter, because, and I did watch a little TV. I'm not going to lie. Don't tell my teachers. I watch a little TV, but I wear blue blockers, and my friend Phil over at Shop Wacan, who I'll put that in the guide also, makes covers for the TV. So I used Phil's covers on my TV when I did want to watch it, which I think is great if you have kids who are stubborn about wearing blue blocker glasses. I do switch out a lot of the bulbs in my house, especially in winter. During summer, we just use natural light. You know, there's no need for it. But I switch out my bulbs in my home to either incandescent bulbs, Midwest Red Light Therapy, who I have no affiliation with at all. They have red light bulbs that you can put throughout your house. There is a brand of LEDs that I actually like that I get on Amazon, and I'll put the link for that in the guide as well. The biggest thing about the bulbs is that you don't want them to be brighter than 1600 kelvins at night, because 1600 kelvins is the intensity of light at sunrise and at sunset. And so in order to really, really avoid circadian disruption, ideally, if you're going to use bulbs, they're going to be lower to the ground. They're not going to be overhead. They're going to be in lamps. And you're wearing blue blockers at the same time. You know, gold standard, of course, is going to be using your fireplace, using candles, using firelight, because that's what we would have used in the winter. You know, our ancestors that lived in these cold, dark climates, they didn't have heated houses. They didn't have all the modern conveniences, TVs, all these things. They lived around fire. And fire, actually, that red light, that's another thing that can contribute to that subcellular melatonin. So we make melatonin. Winter is this season where we really have this amazing opportunity to heal. But again, what do? We turn on the TV, the overhead lights. We don't expose ourselves to any cold, and we end up having a lot more metabolic dysfunction in the winter. So anything you can do in the evenings to mimic a little bit more darkness, you do want to try to get to bed earlier. That's another reason why eating a dinner earlier is going to be a better idea, or eating a really late dinner is going to be a better idea, because you do want to get as much sleep as possible and maximize that melatonin. Again, in the mornings, you know, some people are going to have to be up before sunrise. If you have a choice, if you can sleep as close to sunrise as possible, that's going to be optimal for you. But obviously, we all have these modern lives. We have to have jobs. We have kids. And so we just do our best. Things that we can change out, light bulbs. You know, I use, again, that little clip-on light that I put on my baby's, I put it on the nightstand next to the baby's bassinet right now. And that helps tremendously, putting on my blue blocking glasses. I can feed him, change him, and literally fall right back asleep. It does not mess with my melatonin production. And you would think from waking up a couple times a night that I would just be like a zombie. I'm actually doing okay. So there are a lot of things that we can do with light that seems like, oh, it's maybe too simple to be true. Sorry, the baby is starting to stir a little bit here, so I might wrap up the podcast soon. But there's just so many things that we can do so that we don't have to have these metabolic disruptions during the winter. Now, I will say eating a more ketogenic diet is appropriate in the winter, because we have to think about what is blooming. Food is another form of photosynthesis. Food is a light form, and food carries information. So the food that we're eating in the winter, if we're eating bananas and pineapples and these like tropical fruits in the winter, we're telling our bodies that we're in Costa Rica, you know, that it's the middle of the summer, and our bodies don't have enough light. We don't have all the things that we have in the summertime, that strong UVB light that allows us to deplete deuterium and process these foods properly. And a lot of us are already insulin resistant going into the game. So these kinds of foods, not even talking about the processed sugary foods that happen during the winter, but just eating fruit and things out of season is a confusing circadian signal for your body. So if you are going to partake of carbohydrates in the winter, I would try to go with things like potatoes, squashes, things that are a little bit more seasonally appropriate. If you're not ketogenic, if you're not fat adapted, move towards that as well as you can in a slow and safe way. Make sure you're replacing those minerals. But those considerations for food when we get to winter are almost never taken into account. So we've got the light bulbs that we're changing. We do the blue blockers. You still get outside as much as you can, even if it's cloudy, even if it's rainy, even if it's overcast, your body is still getting a light signal, the appropriate light signal for the time of year, for the latitude that you're in. Things like red light therapy are absolutely awesome to augment light. Again, we make that subcellular melatonin in our mitochondria in response to light, and that is the red and near infrared. So sitting in front of a red light therapy panel, doing sauna in the winter, all of those things are going to increase that easy water in the body and are going to help us make more of that mitochondrial melatonin, which will help us if we do have a situation where there's cancer, where there is metabolic derangement, where there's obesity, depression, anxiety. All of these things that we do circadian-wise are extremely, extremely supportive. So getting into this time change, going into the time change, definitely check out the guide that I have linked down in the show notes for you that you can just print out, keep it. It's got some helpful links. And don't stress. Then another thing that my friend Carrie said on a call that we were on last night that really stuck with me, there's a researcher, Martin Picard, he's PhD, studied under Dr. Doug Wallace, found that stressing out the night before actually reduces our mitochondrial function 30% for the next day. So stressing out about non-native EMF, which we didn't even really talk about. We do want to try to limit that, turning off the Wi-Fi at night. That's another circadian disruptor. But if we are completely stressed out all the time about, you know, I've had people message me, I had to turn on my overhead light for a second. Did I ruin everything? No, if you have to turn on an overhead light for like 2 seconds, you know, or if somebody in your house does, it doesn't throw everything off. If you, you know, only get 30 seconds of sunrise on Monday, but Tuesday you get 10 minutes, guess what? It's a quantum effect. It's going to even out. So get more on the days that you can, and the days that you can't, do what you can. And don't stress. Just be easy about it. Know that this stuff, all that we do, again, it has a quantum effect. So just a small change, wearing the blue blockers, switching out bulbs, using a candlelight, turning off the TV earlier, getting off social media, you know, our phone screens, huge, huge source of blue light, as well as an issue with dopamine, right? And getting off those devices an hour before bed or 2 hours before bed, reconnecting with your family, maybe reading a book, maybe just relaxing, taking a warm bath, doing some things for you. Those things are all going to be very, very supportive. And embracing the darkness. We know this is coming. This is a part of that stress thing as well. So we know the darkness is coming. We know that this is going to be more of an opportunity for us to take a healing approach, to slow down, to stop with the heavy, crazy exercises, right? Winter is more time to do walking, yoga, time under tension type of weight training, those things. It's much better for that. So know that, have that mindset going in, and just make the small changes where you can. I do have a ton of courses that could help you this winter. The Winter is Coming course is basically taking what we talked about here, but turning it into a 2-hour conversation where I even discuss, you know, light beds, tanning beds, those types of things. Are those appropriate? Are they not? My cold therapy course is a very deep dive into cold therapy and how to start it if you want to go beyond maybe like doing a face plunge or wrist dunk. If you want to do something more than that, definitely check out that cold therapy course. And my circadian health for the busy person course goes into how to help people that are shift workers, people that live in these northern latitudes where they have like almost no sunlight in the wintertime, and how to deal with that, like how to circumvent that. So make sure you check those out. You can always use the code podcast to save 10% on those courses. And thank you so much for being here today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with somebody, especially somebody who might need to hear these circadian tips for winter. Maybe they already are in a situation where they're metabolically deranged, or they're, you know, heading that way. You see them heading down that road and you find that, you know, doing these circadian health things for you is effective. So here's a quick little podcast they can listen to start to implement some of these things. And definitely check out that guide linked in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, head on over to Apple or Spotify, leave me that up to a 5-star review, and have a fantastic rest of your day, weekend. I will talk with you again next week.